It's an absolute honor to be here today, and thank you very much for the prayer and the flowers, etc. It's really it's overwhelming, and it's been quite an interesting couple of weeks, quite exciting. Luckily, God is faithful and good for us over the last couple of months. That means that something is going to happen.
And then, as we
In 2009, again, this small boy came and rocked our world. It was in March, and was it in April, it was in April, when I was born there, both Nick and myself came out of broken homes, in other words, divorce, etc. A lot of stuff. So we had this urge and we had this longing for God's blueprint for marriage. This is longing for his heart, for God's blueprint for families. And in response to the asking, well, yes, obviously the examples we have had, yes, I'm praying for some people. But the examples we've had, most of the examples, some of the examples at least, we've seen around us, God, they have come from you. So, there's a band with a name that I can't mention in the church, but they've got a song, this Yevelin Platter. But that's not quite it. But anyway, long story short, we thought we moved out somewhere where it's solid, and we got into the radio, so we could focus a bit more on God and family things. Things might be better, is it not better for us? Yet I think the answer comes from the fact that just Jesus Christ himself. God knows for me and you are. And that took us quite a while to get together, so please bear with me as I share. But in that, God actually told us to go to my health and go. And we started praying, we were comfortable about it. We just truly felt the Lord said, well, who got to demolish me? We got married and we didn't get married and we didn't steal. So we thought that's going to be the stop. So we're going to be nice, sorted yuppies and Libyan. And then last time we all grabbed it. And even though God led us to move out to Mars, we had much different plans. I wanted to do a perfect job in Mars, that then dedicated. But a year later, in 2010, we moved out to Mars, and that's just another one of the things down the road. So that's just a bit about us. And I'm going to start off with the message just by testing. But let's pray. Father God, I want to share about ourselves today. It's truly not about us. This is not a cliche thing to say, Father God, it's really not about us. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, because it's on you today. And it's first of all, to honor Jesus to lead as well. I want to honor this congregation, Father God, for saying that those precious seed as well. We understand that that is that you. We know that, we see that, but even though we know this is the habit, the deep-rooted emotional and spiritual part of the head, Lord. We can just think that is also a challenge and every time. Thank you for the Lord and come to you as that some of this precious seed, Father God. May they be you. May they not be us. May they be you, Father God. Just more of you as they serve the better man, Father God, in the seed. We think, thank you, Father God, we're excited for what lies ahead of our children. We're also thankful and excited for what lies ahead in time for you this world. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege. May you just share the word with you. May the words of our heart and the meditation of our heart make sense to you in their form. And may we hear from you and may we just receive your seed. And may you just unlock stuff in our hearts, sow up things in our hearts, make sense. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you and thank you that you do the work in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point is to be an introduction to the sermon itself. It's just a testimony. I said that now I was working at Marmish Bible School. We were studying in Marmish at that stage. And she got a prophetic word from a team, a local church around here. I'm not even sure from where. Came today, but they just went to the teachers one day. The lady came to her, she started praying, she prophesied over her life, and she said, the season you are going through now will require a lot of faith. You're really going to need a lot of faith. The lady started to cry. And it was this deep spiritual moment, and I never thought, what is up with that? That's weird. And she was just crying, constantly saying, you're going to need a lot of faith in the season that lies ahead. So share. Obviously, maybe Jesus was, in this case, calling his disciples. He didn't call the guys that the local religious people would have called him to choose as a rabbi. It was very often so that the rabbi would call disciples, people to learn other than the Torah, but it was not that common to use a bunch of guys that Jesus called. That Jesus called and called. It was an unorthodox group of people, kind of seemingly more fishermen, tax collectors, even a former revolutionary. So, firstly, he was definitely looking for people like Socrates here with a humble heart and realizing that they were God, not necessarily the guys who were full of learning and maybe not that humble in needing God. We'll move on to John 21 now. I'll just grab the reins and bring the line through just after that. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Remember, this is the latter part of the fishing expedition that I referred to. They said to him, "We will go with you." They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to introduce them, but they decided, "Well, let's go fishing." It was like Jan said earlier today, the weather's looking up, or the weather's not looking up, he's going fishing today. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as that day was over, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that he was king. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So, about great men, they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Just see how, in both instances, they lead into God's worship, to God's messenger in this case, and they're hauling quite a big catch. And even that as it is quite awesome. It's good to go delve a bit deeper in something else. And that is comparison, which I think is important to note between Simon Peter and Jesus. You can go on to the next one, I'll appreciate that. Who was Jesus? Jesus was the son of a carpenter, and he was a teacher. In the first instance in the Luke, Simon Peter couldn't have known too much about Jesus, because it was even before, at the moment of Jesus calling him as a disciple. So he was merely going out to see, sitting and listening as Jesus taught the people, and then Jesus said to him, "Put out your feet and let down your net." Simon Peter, on the other hand, was a fisherman. He was a professional fisherman. He's done so for, we don't know how long, but I guess quite a while. So here we've got Jesus as a teacher, son of a carpenter, being a bit of a carpenter himself, and then going into full-time ministry. And you've got a fisherman on the other side, a fisherman, knowing what to do. Dad told me earlier that I'm being fishers, and so getting to know the coast here. I know actually nothing about fishing. The bottom line is, how much can I go share with you about fishing with authority? Yeah, obviously to listen to me. I guess not much. Yet in this case, you've got a teacher, the son of a carpenter, giving advice to fishermen. We're going to look a bit wider at fishing expedition. And that word over there is really something that struck my heart. The second of the partners, sorry, just want to go out to this slide. I don't have to do the third of the slides, just reading the scripture again. And Simon asked him, "Master, we talked all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." They were fishing, trying to fish all night long. They were doing everything professionally. They were disputing. They were doing everything right, and probably doing everything right, and they tried their absolute best all night long, and yet caught nothing. And here comes his blow with due respect. Tells him to put out to the deep, they're probably tired, having to row deeply into sea and then bringing down their nets. Do we often, or do we sometimes find ourselves in a place where, with our mind, we've got everything sorted out? We think we know the A to Z on certain subjects. We think we've got everything sorted out, we know what to do, and we're quite professional in doing so. Yet, it comes God, with his still small voice, and he says quite the opposite. And I love about Simon Peter here. He just does me. He explains to Jesus, he uses his head, he explains to Jesus how we've tried all night, we've caught nothing. And then there's a moment. And that moment for me is maybe hidden in the story together, that moment is something that happened in every life. Not once, I think, in a Christian life, even more so. That moment happened in our church out to Mormon school. Not every day, but quite a lot. Listening to God, going out, and then sitting without a job. People think we're an absolute freak. We're just wasting it all. And then in that moment, you need to decide and say, but at your word, I will enter my mind. For me, it was financially listening to God, being obedient to his voice. For you, it might be healing, it might be spiritual stuff, it might be financial stuff that's hurt, that's been dragged on quite a while. You've been toiling all night. It may be years. Just thinking of the lady that struggled. That's nutrients, he's talking. With the flow of the axis. She's been struggling for years, and yet she did not give up. There had to be a moment where she hypothetically said, but at your word, I will let down my net. But at your word, I will bow my knee. I think I've got all sorted out up here. I think I know what to do. Yet you're asking for something different from me. Yet you're leading me. When my emotions and my mind, I'm not speaking against using logic or your mind. I'm just referring to a place where it's a matter of warfare. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of going around to another time. I am walking around this world every single day. Why do we need to do it today six times? But it's a place where you decide, I can't you win. I want to learn. As I said, it's not about fishing, it's not about finance either. But it's just that heart of Simon Peter, I think, is really something we need every day. And especially when things are tough. Do we trust God? Do we really trust God? People like to say that, well, God gave you a mind to use it, yes, you should. God gave you a brain to use it, yes, you should. We should also be careful and inspired every day, because we've got a world out there full of people, broken people. They all have brains and they all have minds that they use, but still we've got broken hearts, broken families, broken people running around. So yes, it's using, but yes, it's subjective to what God is leading us, to what God's word is saying to us. And now, as we discussed the sermon, Next slide, please. doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. The end there is now. When you find that in the open water. Awesome, thank you guys. The world would like to look at Christians sometimes, people in a tough situation, and they wanted to look at Israel, standing in front of the Red Sea with the Egyptians coming and meeting them next month, killing them and slit their throat, saying, why are you fighting God? What you do is quite insane. So sometimes we get into situations where doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results looks like insanity. Yet, that might be true in certain cases, but not all. Peter, Simon, and his friends were catching fish all night long. They were doing the same thing, casting their net, bringing it back in, catching nothing. Casting their net, bringing it in, catching nothing. Yet, the teacher, the son of the carpenter, comes around. And the divine God comes and says, cast it again. No, no, another son. Toe keer wat jy gedoen het om die hele teks te vat. En in dat nou het hy gesê dat hy sê Jesus, the deer, the catch. And the catch, the biggest starfish that I've ever caught before. So yes, God will step in to ask the question is not wrong. God will for certainly step in. But do we trust Him to step in our circumstances? Do we trust Him do what he does best every day? Third point today is, do we trust God? That I can't answer you, but yes, God's going to probably put you through a situation or situations of life. We need to decide, am I going to trust God or not? Like I've seen in my own life, is that many a time you get, I can say stuff, right? I can say these things. Don't necessarily believe it in my heart. Don't necessarily live it out. Trust is a firm belief in reality, so according to God's victory, it's a firm reality, truth or knowledge of someone or something. Ritik, do you have a firm belief in the reliability, truth or ability of God? And the things of God, do you, Ritik? And then, in the next few months, the next few years, guys, we'll get to know if I can serve, but can I live? Again, it's not about me, that's a question we're all confronted. Because the world wants to know. You confess the God that exists, you confess the God of the Bible, you confess the God who is the Father of Jesus, according to your Father, your Abba Father. But your lifestyle, what you do, will truly show if you trust it. And this is not first everything over the people. I think it's a challenge for all of us. A challenge in love. Because there's voices. Again, thank you, Lenny, she spoke about it, still a small voice. But there's loud, echoing, bulky voices in this world. There was deaf in our ears for the simplicity. Gospel, the simplicity of living for God. They have a sold out life in Christ. They have a sold out life which trusts God. Bulking voices, echoing voices that want us to trust everything by God. To live for everything by God. Not just to maybe answer a question that comes to mind, but all about. How do we trust God? How does little Frida and little Sophia trust God? We spend time. We've got a relationship. The nice thing is our God is a God of relationship. And praise God for you guys here. If you do have a relationship with God, there's many people out there that we need to reach. It needs to come into a relationship. First, before we can say trust. God is going to say, I need to go off where you can respond. we've been through all the adverse aspects and seen what was left. We need measurement for electricity. Now just on that note, I know there's many times we live in a country where we live poor. And I mean that with a lot of respect, but really live poor. Because God just gave us a piece that's impossible to understand. Long story short, that I met a Christian there, the guy that organizes the shop kitchen. I need a VA, and I told him, I'm going to share a message today. I'm going to say, look here, guys, you think I've got a bank full of money? Everybody says, Yamaniya, yes, yes. And they think you're very rich. You should come across the road and you come and share the gospel and go back to the And then I share with them, I really don't have any cash because I've got a few assets, but I don't have any cash. And then I just saw that look in their hearts. I said to the guy, well, guys, I'm going to not give you money if I share. Otherwise, it was just awesome. And he said, yes, I need my word. So I shared this afterwards. I didn't know there was somewhere. A couple of hours. And out of the soup kitchen, that evening, based on the monetary, God provided me money to buy electricity. Now that might just sound like a weird story to me. And another question I'm going to leave you is, we are to the
always good. Will you listen when the King of Kings comes? At the moment, this whispers into your heart. And even if he says, do it once more, will be said, the fire will get on.
Thanks so much.
Let's just give God praise this morning. If you're feeling distant from the Lord, or if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, okay. I know that we're okay, but if maybe someone in the mommy's room, you're welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you and introduce you to the love of your souls. And for those that are ready for some tea and cake, there's some like a wortel cook in Royal Albert cook in chocolate. So enjoy that and get to share and chat a little bit, meet the different men, chat a bit with them before you rush off home. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Have a super weekend. Bless you.